Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. In this episode, we'll talk about the Digestive Disease Week conference in San Diego, AT1001, celiac diagnosis, pin-milled flour, zonulin, and the joys of Italian cooking, part 2. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is your regular update on news and important topics from our website. Remember, we'd like to hear your input for this program, so please leave a comment on our blog or write to the Podcast Edition directly. Our email address is podcast@celiac.com. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is sponsored by the Gluten-Free Mall. Since 1998, the Gluten-Free Mall has provided safe and convenient online shopping for people on restricted diets due to celiac disease, autism, ADHD, or other health reasons. The Gluten-Free Mall has the best prices and selection of gluten-free, wheat-free, casein-free, and other allergy-related health foods and special dietary products that you can find on the internet. Now, the news. May 17th to the 22nd was the Digestive Disease Week conference in San Diego, California. Digestive Disease Week is the world's largest gathering of physicians and researchers in the fields of gastroenterology, hepatology, endoscopy, and gastrointestinal surgery. Our first two news items were presentations at Digestive Disease Week. AT1001. Even on a strict gluten-free diet, some celiacs might still show symptoms or are inevitably gluten-bombed at a restaurant or even well-intentioned dinner party. At the DDW conference last month, Alba Therapeutics announced the beginning of their Phase 2B trials on a drug called AT1001. Volunteer diagnosed celiacs on a gluten-free diet will be given 900 milligrams of wheat gluten along with 4 different doses of the new drug to determine whether it helps their symptoms. Although AT1001 does not offer to replace a gluten-free diet, this medicine has had positive results in previous clinical trials and could offer protection from sneaky gluten attacks. New method for diagnosing celiac disease. Also presented at last month's DDW conference were the results of some new research that found current celiac diagnosis methods too stringent, leaving patients undiagnosed or untreated. Current diagnostic criteria for celiac disease include looking for inflammation in the small intestine. Researchers in this study decided that a better way would be to take a biopsy and determine whether or not the tissue is endomysial antibody positive. If there are a high level of antibodies in the endomysium, in the tissues surrounding the small intestines, this might be a fair indicator of celiac sprue. The research team believes that if not caught soon enough, patients who are endomysial antibody positive may develop the gut injury that is indicative of celiac disease. The lead researcher, Dr. Markku Mäki of Finland, says, "By redefining the criteria for celiac disease, we can treat patients before they begin to experience the most severe symptoms and signs of the disease." Pin-milled rice flour. Be on the lookout for pin-milled rice flour for home baking goods or foods made with it. According to recent research, the pin-milling process produces a more consistent granule size, allowing for breads to rise more efficiently. The trouble with grinding rice or beans on a grindstone is that it produces random size chunks that won't work for making a good flour for breads or cakes. What the researchers in this study found out is between the randomly sized chunks of rice ground in conventional mills, there are ultra-fine particles that inhibit breads from rising evenly, producing oversized bubbles or collapsing. We have included a link on our webpage to let you take a look at a pin mill. They're different from other grinding mills used for standard wheat flour. Because they're so different, no one is offering commercially available pin-milled rice or bean flour at this time. And now some popular topics on celiac.com. AT1001, a closer look. Lorazepam acetate, or AT-1001, is an orally administered zonulin receptor antagonist developed for the treatment of celiac disease. So, what does that phrase mean? And what is zonulin? And what part of the body receives zonulin? And why would it be good to antagonize the zonulin receptors? According to research reported here on celiac.com from 8 years ago, when Dr. Alessio Fasano, professor of pediatrics and physiology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, was first presenting the results of his studies on zonulin. It is a human protein which regulates the permeability of the intestine. Zonulin levels increase greatly in full-blown celiac disease. The body is producing zonulin at an out-of-control rate. Dr. Fasano says, "Zonulin works like the traffic conductor or the gatekeeper of our body's tissues. Our largest gateway is the intestine with its billions of cells. Zonulin opens the spaces between the cells, allowing some substances to pass through while keeping harmful bacteria and toxins out. Zonulin is also involved in the regulation of the impenetrable barrier between the bloodstream and the brain, known as the blood-brain barrier. In celiac disease, the spaces between the cells of the intestine, and these are called tight junctions, are stuck open. In the celiac's case, their tight junctions are flung wide open. This condition is also referred to as leaky gut syndrome, and that's how gluten gets through, and the antibodies load up on each other trying to fight it off, making a big traffic jam. Dr. Fasano says, "I believe that zonulin plays a critical role in the modulation of our immune system. For some reason, the zonulin levels go out of whack, and that leads to autoimmune disease. We're at the threshold of exciting discoveries in this field. We now have a new way of looking at our cells. Our cells are not stacked together like bricks. They are a dynamic field, which is constantly in flux." So, recently, at the Digestive Disease Conference in San Diego, the research institute started by Dr. Fasano, Alba Therapeutics, announced the enrollment of their first volunteer for their Stage 2B clinical trials, which follow up some positive preliminary studies. At this time, they're still taking volunteers. You can see our website for details. Volunteers must be diagnosed celiacs on a gluten-free diet. Everyone will get 900 milligrams, less than 1 gram, of wheat gluten, and differing doses of the drug they're testing, called lorazepam acetate, or AT-1001. AT-1001 is an orally administered zonulin receptor antagonist. Hopefully, that phrase makes more sense now. Joys of Italian Cooking, Part 2. Filling or stuffing vegetables is an accomplished art for Italians. Some fillings are as simple as removing the center of a vegetable, chopping it, and mixing with herbs and spices and some cheese, placing the filling back in the shells, then baking. But more frequently, the vegetable is stuffed with a meat, pasta, or rice filling. Add a side salad and a slice of gluten-free bread, and you have a complete meal. Stuffed peppers are a regular standby, as are stuffed onions, eggplant, or zucchini. The large yellow zucchini flowers are often stuffed with ricotta or shredded potatoes that have been sautéed in a spicy tomato sauce. Italy invented the antipasti, or antipasto as we call it. The purpose of this array of sampler foods is to stimulate your senses before your meal, wake up your appetite. A typical antipasti platter in Italy includes an endless choice of vegetables, roasted, grilled, marinated, and fried, cold meats, usually prosciutto and salami, olives, and wedges of aged Parmesan, mozzarella, or goat cheese, along with platters of seafood salad and perhaps steamed mussels and clams. Italy also lays claim to fame for cornmeal polenta. Polenta can be creamy, served soft with a scoop of sauce, or firm and served as a side dish to grilled or roasted meats, or stirred into soups and stews to thicken and add flavor. Whichever way you choose to eat polenta, the basic principles of preparation are the same. Bring 4.5 cups of water to a boil in a medium saucepan. Add 1 tablespoon salt and reduce the heat to medium-low. As soon as the water begins to simmer, start pouring in 1 cup cornmeal in a thin stream, very slowly, while stirring constantly with a wooden spoon to prevent lumps. Once all the cornmeal has been added, keep the water at a simmer and stir frequently. It should take about 20 minutes to fully cook the polenta. When fully cooked, the polenta should pull away from the sides of the pot easily. And once your polenta is cooked, you can serve it soft or firm, baked, fried, or grilled. You can top it with butter, or marinara sauce, or add cheese, browned crumbled sausage, or sautéed vegetables. And that's all for this episode of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. Again, we'd like to hear your input. Please write comments about what you thought of the program and what you'd like to hear covered in future programs. In addition, you'll find links to all the original articles on our blog site. So from Celiac.com, thank you for listening.